This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monk. Sometimes the news can seem like it's a world away, but organizations like NATO and policies across the Atlantic can sometimes have a real impact on us here in Cincinnati. So let's talk about all of those issues with Constance Stelzenmoller. She is a fellow at the Brookings Institution. We appreciate you being here, Constance.
Thank you for having me. It's delightful.
If you have any questions for Constance, 513-419-7100 is the number. So you're here in town to talk to the World Affairs Council about international institutions under strain. That's the name of the program. But your focus is on NATO. They've got a series of speakers coming in. Mm-hmm. Well, first, for those of us who may not know, can you give us just the brief Cliff's Notes version of how to understand what NATO is?
Okay, absolutely. So NATO is an acronym short for the North Atlantic Treaty Organizations, and it was founded in 1949 for, to quote a very famous old quote, to keep the Germans down, and I am a German, the Americans in and the Russians out. That was what Lord Ismay, a British peer, said about the purpose of NATO. And of course, you will not find that anywhere in the NATO treaty, but yes, that was kind of the thinking. Since 1949, of course, the purpose of NATO has evolved. But essentially, Americans and Europeans have been keeping the peace together in Europe very successfully. They have, particularly in the aftermath of the fall of the Berlin Wall and the dissolution of the Soviet Union, together worked on the democratization of the Eastern European nations that were members of the Warsaw Pact and the Soviet Union. So NATO expansion. And yes, we've also participated in a couple of wars together. Notably in the Balkans, in Libya, and in Afghanistan, where we, in all of those places, we still are. We've had varying mixed successes, but those were, I would say, necessary and legitimate interventions.
So you're here to talk about how this organization is under strain. So how is it under strain?
I think it's under strain for the first time in the time that I've been covering it and thinking and writing about it. And I used to be a journalist. I've been a think tanker for a decade and a half. Before that, I was a journalist. I've been to the Balkans and to Afghanistan. And we used to fight about where to go to war together, whether to expand NATO, when to use military force. And for the first time in the history of the transatlantic relationship, we're fighting about something that's much more fundamental than that, which is why we're allies and what values we share and what interests we share. And that's a really, I mean, to me, very troubling, but it's also a good and necessary question to ask.
Why? I mean, how do we better understand that in America, where we can be, just as a general public, pretty well disconnected from some of the issues that are happening internationally? We hear our President Trump often criticize NATO for not necessarily paying enough for the defense of Europe currently.
Yep.
How do we understand that more easily?
So let me get this point right out of the way. I am absolutely for Germany and other allies paying their defense dues. And I'm sort of embarrassed that we're not doing enough of that. We're at well under where we should be. I will also say, though, that I think that this president unhelpfully emphasizes that aspect and appears to quite sincerely believe that America doesn't really have an interest in being stationed in Europe or protecting European allies. And there, I think that is a genuine mistake, which fails to take into account just how much this is also in America's interests. Very simply, America has huge amounts of, or just an incredibly broad relationship with Europe. I think here in Cincinnati, where there's clearly a lot of international presence, a lot of foreign direct investment, it's the other way around too. There is huge amounts of foreign direct and American direct investment in Europe. There are American companies creating jobs in Europe, just as European companies are creating jobs in America. And there are dense and vibrant political and social and economic relations between America and Europe, and not just between, you know, the Washington or Swamp Town, as the Trumpians like to call it, but between Middle America and Europe, as I'm sure you in Cincinnati here know very well. And so I think that by keeping the peace in Europe and by making sure that hostile powers or challengers like Russia and to some degree China, who are actively interfering in Western politics, don't manage to unsettle and destabilize, either Europe or America, that is also a mission of the Transatlantic Alliance.
You mentioned that you're German. You have a deep knowledge of international affairs. I'm wondering if you can describe for us what you think the United States is standing in the world is currently and how it's evolved recently.
I think a lot of people are genuinely confused. That's what it starts with, because there's so much mixed messaging coming out of America. On the one hand, there is the president's Twitter feed, which is what it is. There is clearly, particularly on the subject of NATO, I was in the speech that the Secretary General of NATO gave to the joint session of Congress on April 3rd, and saw how people were getting up and applauding senators and congressmen and women after every third sentence. Clearly, Congress on both sides of the aisles, Democrats and Republicans, was sending a very strong sign to the White House: don't touch NATO. But I think that at the same time, Europeans and people elsewhere in the world, you know, are fascinated by American culture, by American products. I mean, people watch Netflix series, people watch Game of Thrones. And there is a sense, you know, that we know this country intimately, yet we don't know it. And I think that what I would say is, you know, come to Cincinnati, come to other places, discover the complexity. And then you'll see, you know, it's not all sort of the headlines coming out of Washington.
Yeah, no matter who's in the White House, America will always produce the best movies and TV series. I think that's
well, that would be a topic for another conversation.
I'd love to have you back to talk about that. I have seen some good German programming as well. You contribute to the Financial Times and other publications, and you wrote an article posted there today.
Yep.
That
wow.
Germany is in danger of losing some close friends, and it had a sub headline that said, "No nation has profited more from the post-war order now questioned by America." Yep. Is America one of those close friends that you believe Germany is in danger of losing?
Yes. Although, I mean, as I think I've tried to make clear, I think some of the criticism is a little off target and confused. But I do think that, and conversely, frankly, it's confusing for the Germans. You will have seen that Secretary of State Pompeo was supposed to come to Berlin for the first time in over a year of his tenure. And canceled that abruptly, saying he needed to go elsewhere, and that elsewhere turned out to be Iraq. And I understand he hasn't even explained that. That, I think, is genuinely unfortunate. I think it's important for European leading politicians and the American Secretary of State to speak to each other seated in the same room. And I think it would have been helpful if he had maybe gone back to Berlin on the rebound or something. That said, it's not as though they're not speaking with each other. Americans have valid concerns with regard to Germany. But I think it's also important to understand that there is a sort of – this administration sometimes criticizes Europe, the European Union, and Germany in ways that are seen as offensive and are seen as hostile in Europe. Particularly this sort of talk about the European Union being a foe to America. That is not how we see it. It really isn't. And that's quite disturbing.
So there's this trend, at least in political discussions, about a drift towards nationalism, not just in America, but in a lot of countries, including some Western European nations. And you wrote earlier this year in that same publication, the Financial Times, that U.S. policy in Europe has taken a nationalist turn. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us what that means?
Basically, what I meant when I wrote that piece was it was addressing sort of attempts to, you know, by the president's advisors and the Secretary of State's advisors to explain this administration's foreign policy, saying, you know, we don't really like international institutions. We want states to be national and, you know, and sovereign, and we prefer strong nation states to international institutions. That was something that the Secretary of State Pompeo actually said at a speech in Brussels in early December, which was really badly received, because he seemed to be suggesting that the United States would actually work to undermine international institutions if it didn't like them. And that was seen, was really startled Europeans. We have our own nationalist movements, but they tend to be, you know, very right wing, and they tend to be in some cases sort of anti-democratic, xenophobic, ethno-chauvinist. And that really rattled a lot of people. So The other thing that that people were saying in Europe in response to the speech was, do people not understand that the nation state is actually alive and well in Europe? It's, you know, the EU isn't this sort of big, like, organism that has taken over everything. It is, in some ways, it is actually like the federal state in America as opposed to the states, in that there are certain things we believe are best resolved at the European levels because the problems cross boundaries. And we're better off cooperating and solving them. That is what the EU is there to do, and it does that reasonably well. But otherwise, the nation state remains the key unit of democratic accountability. So these things coexist, just like in America, the federal level and the state level coexist. There are also intention, but that it works. You know.
In our last 30 seconds, yes. What do you think the long-term consequences could be?
Well, I hope they're not going to be estrangement. I really do. I would hate that because I think that we still fundamentally, the American people and the European people, share deep, profound, similar values and interests, and I hope it stays that way.
Constance Stelzenmoller. I think I got
Very
it right the
good.
First time.
Very good. Awesome.
All right. It's a senior fellow at the Center on the United States and Europe at the Brookings Institute. She is the speaker at the World Affairs Council of Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky International Institutions Under Strain as part of their 2019 Spring Speaker Series. It is today, Thursday, 5:30 to 7 at the Graydon Scripps Center downtown. Details at WVXU.org in the Cincinnati Edition segment. Appreciate you being here, Constance. Thanks
Thank
so much.
Thank you so much for having it. It was delightful. Thanks.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.